Time to talk to State Representative Tacky Chan of Quincy for our Tacky Talk podcast. How are you, Tacky?
Hey Joe, not too bad. Going to a snowstorm weekend and the Patriots are going to Denver.
Good thing. Otherwise, they'd be digging out Foxborough just to play the game.
We've seen that before, right? In the
That's
past, where they
true.
had a snowstorm and they got volunteers or people paid something to go to a Foxborough and dig them out. And those I was old enough to watch Patriots football, and I'm not going to pretend I'm a big football fan. I do watch a game every so often. I do watch the playoffs, and because why not? It's the NFL, right? It snow always helps us out in New England, and I always enjoy watching warm weather teams come try to play in, finger numbing cold.
Yes. Well, this is two cold weather teams, so we'll see. That might not be a factor.
As people remember, Denver has always been the bane of any football team, but especially the Patriots, where they spend most of their time at or below sea level, depending on how you want to calculate sea level. Well, we're basically at sea level.
Right.
And going to mile high is literally what it sounds like. And the oxygen level is different. And we'll see how the team manages going there. This team, I don't believe, has been there this season. So this is gonna be the first. I don't remember the schedule, obviously. But it's Denver's not a freaking place the Patriots go, especially with this brand new quarterback that we have that is clearly having an MVP year.
Yeah. Well, it'd be something fun to do on a snowy Sunday afternoon, that's for sure.
Absolutely. As we tradit prior to tradition in Massachusetts, it's all about bread and milk and eggs before
That's
school.
right. You are in your statehouse office, I see.
Yes, we had a briefing today with my division. I'm in Division Three. They cut up meetings this time at 40 members apiece to discuss our and have our feedback regarding this energy bill that we attempted to do in November before we close for the holiday, and that didn't materialize. Looks like we're going to make a go for it relatively sooner than later, it looks like. So, the leadership team was looking for feedback on this. Chair Cusack from Braintree, our good friend Mark over there, is chairing the Committee of Telecom Utilities and Energy. And obviously, Speaker and Ways Means Chair is very involved as well. So, it was a good opportunity for members to express their concerns or their interests or their objections or the support for different energy policies.
Hey, speaking of sports, I was just reminded I read a story earlier this week about a company that's being banned from accepting wagering for anything, basically. Did you read about that?
Yeah, the I'm going to mispronounce the name. It's like
I think it
Kalshi.
that sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to sound like a sports sheet, Kalshi or something like that. Yeah, this is actually a predictive market issue. We touched on this a little bit, but not really gotten too deep into it. So let's
Yeah.
diverge from an energy conversation for a short bit.
Yeah.
So these prediction markets are what it sounds like. They're trying to do algorithms, AI algorithm, computer calculations on the odds of something happening or not in the future. It could be anything from betting on the child of the next prince of Japan and the gender,
Yeah.
all the way to what is Bill Belichick's girlfriend going to wear the next
Yeah,
game,
it could
right?
be any like how much snow we're gonna get. Anything is up for grabs, it sounds like.
It is, and
Yeah.
it tried to do a predictive model using AI to try to predict the future and constantly
Okay.
data. So this is where it gets a little confusing for me, because those who have gambled on horse racing knows about parimutuel betting. In horse race odds, it's different from casino games or poker or sports betting, is that the odds shift based on the betting participation. So the more you bet on a horse, then the odds shift down because the public, the bettors, think that horse is favored and it shifts the odds. I've never been clear on this part of it because I don't believe it's a parimutuel betting situation. They're doing predictive markets and you wager on whether or not the AI is correct at the time of which. And I'm not participating in this because I'm still not sure how it works.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you're participating, you have to put some kind of wager down on the potential future. But is it at the end of it when you have like a parimutuel situation I described, or is it a fixed one where it's like sports betting? And I'm not
Yeah.
sure which is which. Now, they're claiming they're not a sports betting website. They're claiming they're a options website, which is a stock market term. And
Oh.
I don't know how to play options in the stock market, but it's you're trying to predict what the algorithm, what you're trying to predict the algorithm as an individual by picking an outcome against the algorithms of an unknown. So
right.
Someone else could explain this to you better than I can, because like I said, I don't understand options. I do know what they are. I just don't participate.
Yeah.
So, you know, the idea is that you take an option out, you pick a price, it hits the price, you get your money. There's a lot more involved than just that regarding how you do that and how much money is involved. But it's like you're trying to predict the future by saying, you know, Joe's stock is going to be $100, but I really think it's not going to happen. So I think it's worth $90, and then you take an option of trying to get there. And I should learn more about options someday, but it's not been on my to-do list.
Yeah. So are these actual companies, you know, quote unquote companies, or are they just an individual, you know, behind an app or something?
No, it's a legit companies. They're out there.
Okay.
They're one of the things that came out of most recently in AI.
Yeah.
Because the machines are more powerful than ever, the algorithms can move faster. And people use them to try to protect the stock market, which
I see.
I wouldn't recommend at all. But they, you know, apply that same principle to other real life factors. And unlike the British betting pool, because the British actually will also let you bet almost anything in England, down to like what is going to happen to royal family, you know, to the, you know, various elections around the world, and try to use their own, you know, formulas to make it happen. But those predate the current predictive markets, right? So another thing you see now in these predictive markets, like, is like, what are the percentages of the next Fed chair? Right, you know, who is Donald Trump going to appoint to the Senate for recommendation to be the next Fed chair? And you know, it's now sort of like people actually, I wouldn't say dependent on it, but actually factor it in as part of like a conversation piece on it. And Cauchy's one of the groups that does that kind of, you know, information.
But can anybody, like, could I start one of these groups up, you know, myself? Can anybody do that?
Well, it's an interesting question, because if they claim to behave more like the stock market options, then they should be subject to the SEC, Security Exchange Commission.
This is what I'm thinking, yeah.
And people don't realize that the state level, Secretary Galvin's office has a security division.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes.
So people don't realize we actually do have our own state version of the SEC in Secretary Galvin's office. So it's kind of one of those things that I'm not entirely clear, because
okay.
you claim you're not a gambling company, but you claim you behave more like a brokerage firm.
Right.
Shouldn't a brokerage firm be subject to regulation to the federal and state entities? Plus, shouldn't you have a license? Because brokers have a third-party license that's approved by the SEC that has a private company that administers the test.
Yeah.
It's a,
yes.
Believe it or not, your brokerage license isn't a government license. It's a third-party license authorized by the SEC.
Right, right, right.
To conduct the tests and also take away people's licenses. I mean,
yes,
it's actually a third-party, but people don't realize it's a third-party contract. But it's been working for like 60 years, so SEC has no reason why to take that away.
Right, yeah. This seems more like the Wild Wild West, and it's kind of like illegal bookmaking.
Oh, you're not wrong at all.
Yeah.
It's so, as you can tell by this conversation with me, I'm not entirely clear the whole mechanism either. Yeah.
Well, it's technology, you know, moving faster than government.
And it's not your traditional forms of gambling, to be honest with you. Most of us could talk about basic gambling. We've all known, like poker, craps, roulette. I mean, you know what they are. I mean, you may not participate, but you understand that it exists. And they've been around for centuries. This stuff is totally new where we're living in. The world of faster computer chips and better algorithms, and you know, this new world of artificial intelligence, and people are trying to take advantage of making money on it. And you know, it's like, are they going to take wagers, because they don't claim it's wagers? Are they going to take options on who the next Fed chair could be, for example?
Yeah, that's all semantics, it sounds like.
It is very much so. And that was the details regarding the operation of the technology. And one of the challenges of government is that the technology is moving so fast, it's hard for government to keep up on what is the regulation should be, and should we pass laws on it?
Right.
Because what could potentially happen, it moves so quickly that by the time you pass a law, you have to do another one right away, because it's gone by so fast.
Yeah, right. So is that what happened with this Kelsey? They were banned?
Well, the court has ruled that it, the Attorney General Campbell, had argued that it's basically a gambling platform, gaming, much like DraftKings, and the court agreed for now to stop the use of that business in Massachusetts for now. It's just an injunction.
Yeah, they'll probably appeal.
They're going to appeal, and then we'll see if there's more details. And courts have a hard time with technology too, because it's such a nuanced issue and such a huge learning curve.
Interesting. It just, I'm sorry I got off track. It popped into my head when we started to talk about football.
Well, that's how the show works.
That's right. Random thoughts. We should rename it "Random Thoughts from Jackie and Joe." All right, back to reality now. We're speaking on the day that the governor's delivering her State of the Commonwealth address tonight.
She is. We do. We expect her to talk about a lot of things, but I got no purview yet. I'm waiting to see. Honestly, like you guys do on Status News Service, they do the primer going in on some of the things that she's going to touch upon. Well, I don't get like people think you get like this cheat sheet before the governor speaks. We don't. We actually are subject to looking at Status News Service, which then disseminates to you guys. On like the primer, what she's going to talk about. We expect energy and affordability is going to be something she's going to talk about. I think she's going to touch on economic development stuff.
Affordable housing, I'm guessing, will be a major topic.
I think those are the big ones, and it's going to be hard for her not to talk about the Trump administration and how it's had a negative impact, on Massachusetts, not necessarily just us. I remind folks that even though the media doesn't always point it out, every state is impacted by the Trump administration in so many different ways. So I'm sure she's going to touch a bit on the, what's going on in the current news that we've been watching and regarding the ICE issues around the country, but also talk about things like the impact on local infrastructure projects, right? The federal government's withdrawal from federal infrastructure or state federal partnership infrastructure or municipal federal partnership infrastructure has a huge effect on the economy. It also means that your roads are going to have problems and your bridges are going to have delays. And maybe you might be part of a clean water program and that's going to get delayed because the feds are no longer being a participant, right? So you won't feel it right away as a resident, but over time, you're going to realize why is this not good? Because it should have been addressed, but the feds have pulled out of some of these things. The bridges over the Cape is a classic example of that. That's been withdrawn. The dollars has been suspended. That's going to get delayed again. So, and behind those things are real jobs, which then affects income taxes and economic movement because if someone have a job, they're going to pull back on their spending, and people are already pulling back on their spending, which affects small businesses as well as large businesses, and of course, impacts tax revenue as a result. So, and we just talked a little bit about this earlier about energy. The Trump administration was suspending windmills off the coast of Block Island, and the courts, they've appealed to the courts. They're back on for a little while, but there's a lot of economic uncertainty because these big corporations put in billions of dollars over the course of many years, of which many of it is either investor, private investor, or they have borrowed money. And today's interest rates are very rough. So, it's hard to plan major infrastructure projects if the federal government isn't going to let you permit it. And they pulled back hundreds of millions of dollars in Massachusetts alone regarding new clean energy power programs and things like residential solar and electric cars, which people may recall this past fall, there was a massive rush on electric car purchases before those tax credits expired nationally. It was not just here, but nationally, people were trying to get in under the tax credit, which created temporary stimulus, very temporary stimulus for all the car manufacturers that have electric vehicles. So, there is this storm coming in some ways of many different sectors, whether it be housing and the fact of pulling money back on homelessness. All the homeless shelters in the state have to cut their budgets by somewhere 10 to 20%. Emergency programs for folks that find themselves, in a fire situation, or people fleeing human trafficking or domestic abuse, those housing services, that's all on the table of the Trump administration, right? So, I think the governor will touch upon some of those issues. I get constituent emails and calls asking the state to fill in the hole. we don't have the money to fill in the hole. It's going to be very hard decisions coming up, not just this coming fiscal year, but I think for the next several fiscal years. That stuff that's going on in DC, people think, well, you can just reverse course in 3 years, you know, with a new president, but the damage is done. And then you have to like deal with repairing stuff after the fact. So, for example, a 3 year delay on the Sagamore Bridge, for example, that's 3 years of construction work that isn't happening. Those 3 years of jobs, there's a delay in the cost. So the cost has now shifted. And the state still has to come up with its 20%, 25% share of that cost too. And then we're going to, you know, we have to deal with the fact that, you know, how we had set aside money. We have to keep that money set aside, but if the costs change in 3 years, right, then obviously our set aside has to be increased as well. Or there'll be spent our set aside now on something we need to do and then revisit the issue later. It really screws up everyone's planning. And that's just an example of one construction project. This doesn't count whatever's going on at municipal level or, you know, other folks that are part of the feds. Like, you know, I'm getting concerns regarding certain programs. Like, most people don't realize that this is a program to help Asian American students out regarding transition in college. It's an underserved area of the community, particularly the immigrant and refugee sections. And those programs have been cut. So the support services are no longer there. And it's not the only one. So, you know, you may not feel this listening to me because it doesn't affect you directly, but some of these may indirectly, you've got to feel it. And then, you know, you're going to send me an angry email, a voicemail, a phone call to the office saying, oh, why is this happening? And how come, you know, this is not good. But, you know, it's one of those things that over time will become more apparent.
Yeah, it'll expose, you know, where the vulnerabilities are. I think when I interviewed the lieutenant governor back in the summertime, you know, expressly asked her, is there any chance the state can fill in the gaps? And she flat out said no.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the Medicaid, Medicare part alone, which you guys know as MassHealth, you know, consumes almost 30% of the state budget, give or take what year we're in. Some years it's like 27%, sometimes it's over 30%. It really depends on the use of services that year by folks. And MassHealth is over 70%. Persons over 65, it's large, the largest cost is driven by senior citizens.
Yes, yeah.
So they're the ones that are going to get hit first if this changes in Medicaid. And the governor's folks, when they release the budget next week, I promise you, we'll have mass health. You can call it reforms. You can call it cuts. I just call it changes. There's probably going to be some significant mass health changes next week when we see the governor's budget.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, tomorrow is the end of the open enrollment period for the health connector. So, you know, folks want to get in on it. They need to do it now.
Yeah. And we're going to see the connectors going up in price because of the federal government's withdrawal of their assistance.
Yeah.
So
something that was revealed about the governor's address tonight was some immediate cuts to energy rates, electricity and natural gas.
Yeah, she's going to have DPU look at taking some unused monies, which is what part of today's conversation was, from your rates sitting in certain funds that have not been spent. And well, the question is why they weren't spent is another question. But but in near term, there will be some mild, I'm going to use the word mild, rate assistance on your bill. And the rate assistance isn't going to show up as like a chunk of money. It's actually a rate reduction. It temporarily reduces your rates. I know people want to see, you know, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have like a 30% reduction. You're going to see like a dollar sign for a credit. It doesn't quite work that way. There's a rate adjustment that's going to come. And this has always been a problem talking about energy prices, whether it be distribution, transmission, or energy itself, is that the way it's adjusted is a rate change on your bill. And it's like, it's not easily visible. So the public's going to get angry because they say, well, we had some assistance, but I don't see it.
You have to look carefully. You know, for an electric bill, you have to look at the charge for kilowatt hours. For a natural gas bill, you have to look at the charge for therms, and that will change.
Yeah, but it's a temporary change because we have one-time assistance.
It's a deferral, basically, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those political PR problems, right?
Yeah.
Because people want to see a credit. They want to see cash in hand.
That's right. That's
They want
right. I want my money back, right? Yeah.
they want to see something concrete. The problem with energy is that it's built into changing the rate of your charging,
Right.
the
Yeah.
change of
Yeah.
kilowatt hour rate, and
It's
that's the
hard.
problem.
It's hard to codify that in terms that people can understand. You could say, without this reduction, your bill would have been this much, and then you can kind of see it.
And people do not want to.
They don't want to do the math,
I'm going to tell right now, trying to explain that to people is
I know. No,
brutal.
I understand. I don't want to do it myself, but at least I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of the problems of energy, trying to explain energy prices to folks, is that you're getting a reduction that's just not straight in your face. And also
Right.
depending on how much you use. It's not
Yeah,
that
that's true.
simple. It's not simple, but people understand when you get a check. But if you're trying to keep your lights off and change your thermostat, which is going to be
Yeah.
very difficult in the next few days.
Oh, don't do that, folks. Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that. And or try to I have an electric stove, try to not leave it on, try to maximize the heating coil time.
Right.
It's very hard to for people to see those impacts. And I think this is one of the big public relations problems about reducing energy costs.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take some pools of money that from your rates that's been set aside in other places, and
Yeah, $180 million.
we're gonna refund that via your rates.
Okay.
But it's a one-time thing. It'll provide a little help for maybe 2 months in the colder periods, but there's no guarantee that it's going to be equal for everybody because everybody uses different amounts of power.
Sure. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And but if you use more, the benefit's less.
Right.
And I understand that some folks' homes are not well insulated. I understand some folks' homes are older. I do understand that people may not have the price money to buy new heating systems or cooling systems. I get that. And even,
Yeah.
with that stuff. But I also encourage people to use Mass Save. Again, do the energy audits at minimum. Energy audits are free.
Yeah.
Mass Save, at least you get an idea what your energy costs are in your home.
Yeah. Are any of these reductions coming from that program? Do you know?
That's a different conversation. So we're
Oh.
taking some of this money that was set aside for renewable energy development
Oh.
that's been unspent and
Okay.
moving it into temporary rate reduction. That's
Gotcha.
the game plan. So again, it's very hard to sell to the public
Yeah.
because it's not as concrete and obvious. No matter how many times I say it to you, everyone's gonna be like, go back to the default. I want
Yeah.
to check. I want to see a clear number in front of me.
Right.
That's perfectly fine, but that's not how rate making works.
Right. Yeah, no, I you're right, exactly. It's not sexy tacky.
No, it's not. And again, we're moving to a cold spell. So even if we do a temporary rate reduction, your
Yeah.
consumption will be higher.
Yep. I mean, obviously, and you've acknowledged this in the past, there needs to be a longer term change in energy policy to make it more affordable.
No, absolutely right. And is a not to put everything on the Trump administration, but a lot of our new energy construction that's supposed to get here, Hydro-Québec, the Block Island wind farms, everything's getting delayed. And this is a no-build state in many ways. It's very hard to build, almost impossible to build a new natural gas generating facility. But even then, we don't have enough natural gas to go around.
Right.
I just remind folks again, in the wintertime, between heating homes and generating more power in Everett, you're heating homes before they get power. And then it becomes a spot power buy from around the region trying to buy temporary power, which spikes your electric bill.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
if you got a heat pump in particular, you're more susceptible to that under a spike in electrical cost because you're 100% electricity as opposed to people using, home heating fuel or natural gas.
Right.
They're going to, in a temporary peak situation, they're going to get hit the hardest first.
Right. Yep.
So, again, I've been around energy my whole life in different forms of my life. And it's a lot of moving parts. And you're right, it's a long-term plan, but some of the long-term plans are being waylaid by the federal government.
Ever think nuclear make a comeback?
Nuclear make a comeback, but the residents won't go for it.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to have to be in less densely populated areas, but you need a water source to cool it. So nuclear is actually a very simple technology in the sense that all you're doing is using a radioactive material, causing
A fusion reaction.
Fusion reaction,
Yeah.
and then you create heat. It heats the water up.
Yep.
Water turns the turbine. The water
Yep.
is then cooled and released back into the a general public after it's been tested to confirm there's no radiation, which probability is extremely low because you don't, you know, the heat from the radiation source is so hot but shielded that you don't need boiling water. You just need hot enough to turn right.
To make steam, right? It's actually old technology, steam technology, right? Going back decades.
It is. That's why nuclear power has to be close to water sources. So, and it's going to be a water source where you can exit the water safely. You just can't put it.
Can't be like the Quabbin Reservoir.
That's correct. You can't put like under Charles anywhere, right? So that's why it's very location specific. And then you're talking about for a safe construction could be anywhere between 7 and 10 years for safe construction.
I see. Okay.
So nuclear is, you know, 100-year lifespan to modern technology can extend it to 100 years of clean power, but you're going to have to wait perhaps up to 10 years for a new construction, not an existing facility, to
Gotcha.
be built. Plus the fact that you got the anti-nuclear folks, which does that. And remind folks, if you look at statistics regarding all forms of power, nuclear has the least impact on public health and also has the least death rate regarding usage compared to fossil fuels all around. And it's 24/7, unlike, well, close to 24/7, 99.9% reliability, as opposed to wind and solar, which has somewhere between 30-ish and 5-ish percent reliability. So
That's great.
the 99.9% reliability sources, nuclear has the least a negative death impact. In a few, we only had three major cases: Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, and Fukushima. One was bad, well, actually, two were just bad construction. Three Mile Island had construction flaws, which we're not doing anymore that way. Chernobyl was just bad construction. And Fukushima was a tidal wave from a 8-plus Richter earthquake that flooded out. And when they should have built their backup fossil fuel generator to keep the turbines cool as they do a gradual shutdown above sea level. So, those are lessons learned, but
Lessons learned, right?
how are you going to expect a tidal wave to hit you?
No, it's some things you obviously can't plan for, right?
But when you look at, fossil fuels and emissions and, things blowing up, or you're looking at oil, which is really dirty, and coal is terrible. And you look at shale, we're the biggest shale producer in the world. Shale is disgusting in terms of processing, very disgusting. But that's kind of how it is. So, but again, the public opinion is very bad on nuclear. I think you all hearing me know that. And they're not easy to build at these specific locations, and they it takes time to build it and need a guaranteed buyer. When you think about a power is that you don't build power with no buyer.
No,
It's
you
like
need the
build,
market, right?
yeah, someone's gonna have to guarantee contract and purchase a power. It's like building a housing facility with no tenants.
Just hoping you'll build it and they will come.
Yeah, which I know is a tight market in this
Which
area.
around here, it's probably more of a guarantee, because of the
More of a
housing market.
guarantee, but developers need to be assured when they're building something that the percentages are in their favor, they will have tenancy.
Interesting. It's I enjoy talking about energy because I find it interesting personally, but and it impacts everybody.
It is, and it's a maturation issue. I tell folks like the two areas of public policy you got to wait to see unfold is really energy and healthcare.
Oh, sure. And healthcare, I hadn't thought of it, of course.
Yeah. Anytime we do any major policy change in those areas, it takes about 5 years before you see a full impact to it.
Did you get any other insight into the governor's speech tonight?
No, we're
No.
just guessing our way through it. And that's what we're thinking, in the talking the hallway with my
Yeah, no, I
colleagues.
understand. The water cooler talk,
Yeah, that we think that's where she's going. They've already cornered off the House chamber. They've re already setting up security since this morning. The House speaker basically loans the chamber to the governor for the state of the state, so she actually controls the chamber for the day.
Oh, interesting. I didn't really. Yeah, I know there's a lot of pomp and circumstance behind this. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's our chamber by constitution.
It's the people's chamber, right?
Yep. But we loan it out essentially for one day for
Oh, interesting. Do you charge her? It's on
only
the
that's
get
a
it?
good
Sorry,
one.
Jackie.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Just in a weird mood today. That's all. Oh, gosh. How are your bills going?
I got stuff that's coming out of committee that's sitting in Ways and Means. We just drafted a letter actually yesterday with staff, a couple of fun ones. I have a bill on food allergies requiring vocational schools that has culinary programs to require food allergy serving courses called Safe Serve part of the curriculum. I think it's common sense. As a person with a lot of food allergies, I think it makes a lot of sense. You have a bill regarding putting in restoring more accurately and updating laws regarding senior housing and pets.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, as we know, animals are very important to people's lives, pets, dogs, and cats in particular. And they're very good for your mental and physical health too, pets, and particularly in senior communities. And then, I have this one that's a little bit an old bill now. It's requiring all businesses, regardless of public or private projects, to have at least 10-hour OSHA training for employees. This stems from an incident regarding the self and actually many years now, where sadly a couple of individuals died underground
Oh, my
because of
God.
water main break,
Yeah.
and they didn't have the proper bucket or I'm not sure what it's called, but they have this like thing they're supposed to be inside of in
Yeah.
case there's a flood in that gives them enough time to get out of the hole. And that's
I
actually
see.
an OSHA issue. So private companies are not required to have OSHA training, minimum 10 hours. The all public projects are, however, all
Oh,
public
interesting.
or all employees on site have these 10 hours closure training.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
Because it
could
was
it
an issue.
prevented those deaths? I can't say. Would it reduce, would it improve the odds of a death not happening? Maybe. I
Well,
mean,
yeah. I mean, if there's a device available that could save your life, it should be utilized. Yeah.
yeah, and OSHA requires it. So if you have knowledge of it, then you should be using it.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. See, these are all things that folks don't realize are going on behind the scenes, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, massive budgets. They're not massive
Yeah.
energy and healthcare bills, but they're still relevant to people's day-to-day lives. Some may be relevant too that I talk about, some may not be, but I got those three bills sitting in Ways and Means right now. And then the staff and I are preparing a memo to Ways and Means third reading committee and the speaker's office regarding the committee bills too. So we're prioritizing our bills as well as doing that. And we have a hearing we've set up for the committee on the first Wednesday in February. And I got to release yet another poll of the committee because of the deadline system we're running under. We're an accelerated reporting system now. So
Yes.
before even the hearing started, I have to prepare polling. And obviously the hearing testimony changes my mind sometimes on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
We pull back, but even we have to have a preliminary plan before we start a hearing.
Gotcha. Okay. To kind of speed things up a little bit.
Yeah, you can't wait till everything's done. Like I said, the hearing's testimony may change my mind. I'll stop pulling things off, but you have to have a preliminary plan going into a hearing because of the accelerated deadline system we're working
Yeah.
on.
Interesting. How's the unemployment? Every time we talk, I think you seem to be weighed down by unemployment issues.
Which issues? I'm sorry.
Unemployment.
Unemployment. Yeah, I got four calls already this week.
Really?
Yeah, on unemployment delay. It's a lot of folks that either have access problems, had contacted or filled the forms out, and have not heard a response. Those are very common calls, and we probably have. I have to check, but I think we probably have 20, maybe up to 20 open cases right now that we're trying to get resolved. Why can't they get a response? So,
Yeah.
I appreciate everyone's patience on this. Obviously, we do encourage people to call us if you have an unemployment problem or any problem that we could potentially help with. I do respect the fact that it is understaffed. DOA is understaffed at the moment, a combination, the fact that we see what the federal government is going to do regarding that portion of our budget
I
on
see.
staffing. And honestly, people don't want to work in government right now. It's an interesting phenomenon right now.
Even state government?
Yeah, it's just you're just not getting people wanting to apply for work. I mean, the MBTA
Okay.
is my classic example still. It used to be, I got a son, can you help get a job? I mean, those calls are gone
Oh,
because
the T was coveted jobs years ago, yeah.
they're so understaffed. You
Yeah.
don't need anybody's help. The application process will take care of itself.
Right.
Not a guarantee you get a job, but they're understaffed.
You'll be
So,
considered at least, right? You won't, you, yeah.
yeah. So it's again, we're living in a different time. So you got a lot of factors going on, not an excuse, they're just factors.
Sure, yeah.
And but I know there's a lot of frustrated folks out there. I
Well, it's
see
interesting because
them.
normally it's a funding problem, but that doesn't sound like that's the case here.
No, the money's there. It's a processing problem
I see.
because
Okay.
unemployment, it's not just application done correctly, but you also have the verification of your former employer has unemployment insurance. Or if they don't have unemployment insurance, the former employer actually has to pay directly from themselves. And your
No.
former employer can challenge you on
Yes,
whether or not you
exactly.
qualify for unemployment. And that's actually a whole verification process they have to go through with every individual. So as you imagine, when volume is high, which is clearly going on right now, it's a delay in process.
Okay. Do you think it's skewing the actual unemployment rate numbers?
Well, I mean, the natural unemployment rate numbers have shown that it's going up.
Yeah.
Decimal point. The state seems to be ahead of the feds by point like four. We're closer to 5%, but although the federal government is the national, I'm sorry, the national one's creeping up to 5%. I think we're right on the edge. It's really about less about new applicants. To me, it's about how many people stay on. So the longer your unemployment means that you have a job market problem. The jobs aren't there.
You can't get a job, right? Yeah.
And I still really believe right now that, I still believe that employers, big and small, are primarily trying to keep employee retention as opposed to new hires right now.
Yeah, it's we talked about this before, the no hire, no fire economy, right?
Yeah, and it's a K-shape. I
Yeah.
mean, every economist, every retailer, every CEO of that, it's a wholesaler retailer, will tell you it's from their standpoint, it's more and more apparent that people who have means and people means tend to be much more wealthier now. I mean, $100,000 doesn't go very far in this economy. I mean, let's be honest about it. After you get past taxes and everything else, and then you got your fixed costs of rent, electricity, your mandatory, things you need to live,
Right.
your discretionary shrinks really fast. So, you the people really support an economy is 50% economy is being supported on the commercial side by people with the most means.
Twelve ballot questions potentially this year.
Well, they all come up here now. They get assigned to various committees. I do not believe I have one, so I'm very happy I don't have to do one this year in my committee, and the committee has to early made to make a recommendation. If not, they need to get about 12,480 some odd signatures
Yep.
to continue on to the next stage of the ballot initial process. This may be very challenging for voters if all 12 make it because it's going to be like 8 pages.
It's going to slow down voting for sure. Yeah.
It's going to slow down voting. It's going to create a lot of confusion. You may recall the first page is your candidates, and after that, it's in sequence and number. I think it's random that the ballot questions, and then in states like I'm sorry, in cities like ours, it's bilingual ballots,
Yes, that's
which
right.
just doubles the double of the size of the ballot. And then, in the Red Book, very much encourage people to get the voters. Registration summary from the Secretary of State's office
Yes.
to put as PDFs. Again, as we get closer to Election Day, my office is more than happy to print one out for you and put it in the mail for you if you can't get one. Or
Yeah, it's still early, but yeah.
we'll help you out in getting that public information from the Secretary's office. So you need a paper format,
Okay.
but yeah, I mean, it could be. Let's put aside the policy of that issue. It could be very challenging for the ballot petitioners themselves to try to bring attention to a ballot. And most people go in thinking they're going to vote for candidates, and suddenly they see there's actually like 4 pages or 5 pages.
Right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Stay tuned for that.
And actually, stay tuned for the money. I mean, ballot petitioners fund through independent PACs. So we'll be very interesting to see how much money is
Yeah.
put into these ballot questions. And if you're number 11, or 12 in the ballot initially, actually, if you're anything past four, you're probably going to spend big bucks
Yeah.
on trying to promote your ballot question for and against
Sure.
to the public to remind them stick around, get deeper into the ballot.
Right. Yeah. We'll see all the TV ads and circulars and you name it, billboards. And,
Yeah, and social media and all that stuff.
yeah.
So, Yeah, it'll be interesting to see because, from my standpoint as a political junkie, it's not necessarily just the ballot questions, but it's also how they promote those things and the raw amount of money and where the money comes from to promote these questions. I mean, as a political junkie guy, I really like to like learn about and what's going on here.
Yeah, that's all folks want. It's all public information, so you can find out.
As I get deeper into it, I'll be showing more interest in, looking at that public stuff that's available.
Sure. Anything going on in the district, Tacky?
It's fairly quiet. I mean, I want to take a quick moment and recognize the passing of some legends in Quincy in politics. Author Stephen Tobin ran the courthouse for 44 years, but is a former mayor, former state senator, been involved in Democratic politics. Another veteran who served our country well, and his wife Shirley, that also actually served the city in many capacities, before and after her husband's political life, and former Mayor Sheets, who passed away, also actually all in the same day, or I think same day,
So Arthur was the day after.
was the day after, so in 48 hours, and they move on, and Mayor Sheets was the 29th. No, Arthur Tobin was the 29th mayor.
Not sure about that.
I think Mayor Sheets was the 31st mayor, and then Mayor McCauley, who passed away, oh, I think 3 years now. He was the 30th mayor, I believe. So, on living mayors, we have obviously Mayor Koch, and you have Mayor former Mayor Phelan, because I believe Mayor LaRae is also now gone, and former Mayor Hannon is also gone.
Yes, that's correct.
So, big part of not just incredible public servants, but also a big part of why we have a Democratic Party in Quincy. Folks like themselves, promoted Democratic candidates and helped build up the party now. And that generation's moving on, of Frank Bellotti, the McIntyres, and many others of that generational bracket that made the city a Democratic-based city.
Oh yes, prior to like the Kennedy era, it was strictly Republican in Quincy.
Yeah, and they did a grassroots by city councilor, by county seats, by state rep seats. And it was something they just kept doing over and over and over to promote folks that they want to get into office, as well as themselves running for office.
So yeah, I mean, over 50 years of history gone, just with those individuals.
Yeah, I'm very conscious of the legacy issues as well as the next tier of de senior Democratic leaders. I mean, we're going to get partisan here, but the political electeds here, we do respect the seniority of the older Democratic electeds because they have seniority but have the most experience. So that's not lost on me, and I always appreciate time, any time to give to tell me a story or two, and learn a lot from those stories.
I'm sure. I'm sure. And get a few laughs along the way too.
It is you can imagine the contentious nature of some of these stories at the time of becomes a good story to laugh about later on.
Especially during the transition years.
Absolutely.
Here's where we can tell folks how to get a hold of you, Tacky.
Sure, as you can tell, I'm in the State House right now, 617-722-2370, 617-722-2370. I'm room 42 of the State House. We are staffed, although Monday it looks like we might be closed because of the snowstorm. If there's a state of emergency, the House and Senate will also close their chambers if there is a state of emergency called, although we can have a formal or informal session during a state of emergency if the branches decide to do so. So, obviously, you can email me at tacky.chan@mahouse.gov, tacky.chan@mahouse.gov. We have State Representative Tacky Chan Facebook account and as well as corresponding Instagram. We are no longer using X. The traffic was too low, so we're migrating our social media. And then we have tackychat.org, which people do use to actually reach out on the contact page, but also many resources and phone numbers available there. And MALegislature.gov, very much people, again, encourage people to use that website to track legislation, watch public hearings, watch sessions, get documents. They're all up there. And of course, email Joe at QATV at QATV.org with your burning questions or comments that Joe will be happy to filter and integrate into a future program.
Absolutely, absolutely. And go Patriots, right?
Go Patriots. Let's, you know, it's been a long time since I'm trying to think of what I'm doing in Denver. But no, it should be a good day for people to bunker down and enjoy the game. And also, you know, be safe. You know, the emergency, most likely the city is going to initiate emergency protocols regarding the roads.
Yes.
And where to park. And obviously keep an eye on your neighbors. It's not just going to be snowy, but it's going to be blisteringly cold.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and the cold's going to get you faster than the snow will.
Yes, exactly. Yep. So, yeah, be good to each other.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tacky.